Schonger obviously had some good intel. You basically called it yesterday. Re-sign Barry, trade Ethan Bear, and both happened today.
Yeah, well, I think, the logical progression, you know, there's some sense there. You know, if you're gonna re-sign Tyson Barry, which I believe they were super interested in doing at the time, it's just tough to return him, Bear, and Bouchard on the right side. They needed to have more of a shutdown presence, bigger, stronger, that kind of thing. And so that leads to a potential Bear trade. And then they address one of the needs up front with the Ethan Bear trade. They were looking for a player like Warren Fogle in free agency for the left wing. So they used Bear as an asset to fill a need that they were looking for in free agency. And then they signed CeCe. The CeCe deal likely doesn't get done if the Bear trade doesn't happen. So a little bit of an elaborate dance for it all to fit together. But I think Ken Holland, I don't know. I think he did a pretty good job today of fitting this all together and making it work. And they're not done yet, but the big plays, I think, are in at this point.
When you look at the orders, I'm going to give you a fivesome, Schonger. So fives in Group A, you have Ethan Bear.
Do I need a pen?
No, you just need a memory. You have Bear, Larson, and Kulikov. Okay. And you have Neil.
Yeah.
No, I'm not done. And you have Neil and Cahoon. Okay.
Okay.
Three defensemen and two forwards.
A long
in
day
Group
here.
B, okay. You have Duncan Keith, Cody Ceci, Evan Bouchard, Hyman, and Fogle. Which group do you think gives the Oilers a better chance to win?
Okay. I'll take a look at this. Bear, Larson, Kulikov, Neil, and Cahoon. Well, I mean, they're way better up front in the one scenario. Yeah, Bear, Larson, Kulikov, Keith, Ceci. I mean, I think Bouchard's going to be a good player long term here. I don't know how much he's going to be able to give them this year. I would say the second group, I think. I mean, Hyman and Fogle up front that's a significant upgrade on their left side, like big time. Big time, big time. You look at who they were running out for left wingers this last year. Fogle's a legit third line player. Like this is a decent player here. They didn't just trade Ethan Bear for a fourth line plug. I think Duncan Keith has a fair amount to give still. CeCe, I'm not sure of. Too much term, but you're buying in free agency. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I would probably. And did you have Barry in the other group as well?
Well, no, because Barry was on. He was with Bear, Larson, and Kulikov, and he's now with Keith.
Right, yeah.
So he doesn't change. Now the other change, obviously, the other addition is going to be the center. There's going to be a third line center acquisition, and it's kind of Jujhar Khaira who comes out, right? Or I guess maybe Kyle Turris, depending. But either way, right? So, you know, there's kind of significant change. The other one, and still people are wondering, and, you know, it sounds like Ken Holland's looking like that Darcy Kemper. Like, I wonder if they circle back on a Kemper Koskinen and Edmonton just has to add something to sweeten the pot. I just don't know how much it would be, right, to get him. So that's my question on that one. So we'll see where it goes. I think we lost for shock. So it's fine. So
he's trying to FaceTime me right now. I think that might be the issue.
Oh, awesome. You know, he hit it on the side of his face, guaranteed. I've done that. All right. Who's that? You ever had the phone and you're talking to someone, then you accidentally hit the mute button while you're talking because you just move the phone around, and then the person you're talking, the person's like, what? I can't hear you. What? What? And you're like, what are you talking about? I'm right here. And then you don't realize until they pull the phone away, and somehow you've hit the mute button. So it happens. I've done it a few times. So Schonger's back with us. And Schonger, what about there's a center spot, but do you think Ken Holland can get that deal for the goaltender? Because there's lots of rumblings. Obviously, they've been working on trying to move Koskinen. Do you think he gets it done? He's got one job today, Connor. One job.
He FaceTimed me again, but I'm going to give him a call.
Yeah. He's got to learn the difference between FaceTime and the phone. So we'll see. This signing just coming in, Mike Hoffman to the Montreal Canadiens. 3 years, $4.5 million for Hoffman with the Montreal Canadiens. So there you go. Shagar, are you there? Do you have your phone on? Are you on FaceTime? What's happening?
No, I'm here, buddy. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm in the rink, so I don't have the best service in here. But anyway, just to finish the thought on the goaltending, the cost of moving Koskinen, they may decide to just stand pat because it just might be too high. I don't think it's cheap to ship Mikko Koskinen out of town. If it was, man, it'd have been done a long time ago. Yeah, I think it's expensive to do that.
No, that's fair, right? Like, the interesting thing is, like, you know, Arizona took on all the money of Gostisbehere and a second and a seventh. So in this case, if you want to do a Kemper for Koskinen deal, you know, I think most would agree Kemper's a better goalie. So the cap hit's irrelevant. It's you're giving up a better player, so you got to spice that up because the money's going to be the same. You know, unless Arizona's going to agree somehow to take Koskinen and eat some of Kemper's money, right? So it is it. I agree with you. I've said it all along. It's not an easy trade in Edmonton. I just don't think they're in the position to throw away more second and third round picks just to get rid of 1 year of Mikko Koskinen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think, like I said, I mean, when you really dig in on what went wrong of the things that went wrong for the Oilers, if you're really taking an honest look at it, I mean, where on the list is goaltending for you? So now you can say, well, okay, Mike Smith might not be able to do the same thing again. And that's fair. He's a year older. How much of a regression are you worried about or are you thinking there might be? Even if there's a bit of a regression there, you know, how big of an issue is it potentially for this team? Now, do they have the goaltender that's going to raise the Stanley Cup for them? I don't think so, and I think that's probably fair. But that's something you can also address down the road. Like, if the right deal isn't there, you can try and change it in season if you can, right? Once dollars start ticking off of Koskinen's deal and it becomes cheaper and cheaper with each passing week and month, then maybe it becomes more realistic. So we'll see. This third line center position will be interesting too to see if they can slide something in there. I think they've got money on the table here for Derek Ryan. I don't know what it'll look like or if it'll be a go with him or not.
Well, if they don't get him, man, there's not a lot of options. There wasn't a lot of options to begin with for the third line center this offseason. Although I will say the. And I'll find out. I want to talk to people after all the smoke is settled. But I wonder if they were ever close on Nick Bonino. Because of all the contracts that were signed today, when I look at fit for a team, Nick Bonino at 2.05. Now, I know he was drafted by Doug Wilson, so that might play a part in it way back when, right? But, man, Nick Bonino for 2 years at 2.05, that contract's a little intriguing to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as for the Getzlaf stuff, I mean, it feels like these teams were stalking horses on him staying put. I really got that sense yesterday and all the discussions about it and suggested as much. I don't know if Ryan Getzlaf was ever leaving Anaheim. So Oilers would have loved to have been there. The number is not something they would have been able to do. Maybe when the number was dropped, it was just game over for the Oilers anyways because they weren't paying that for him in free agency. So. We'll see what happens. I mean, you had suggested before that if they could find another high quality winger, that maybe they can move Nugent Hopkins into the middle more often than not. That option is potentially there, though I do think they would like to find a third line center. And I think they do need to find somebody that can play ahead of Ryan McLeod. So we'll see. I don't think they're done here. And I think they're still trying on the goalie. I'm just not sure it's going to be there for them.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Hey, how are fans doing, by the way? Like re-signing the highest scoring defenseman in the NHL seems like there isn't quite as much, hey, way to go. Well, they didn't overpay on term, and they didn't overpay in dollars, and they just returned the highest scoring defenseman in the league last year. Yet it seems to be chaos and anarchy out there with regards to that signing. I just have no concept or understanding of how that's a thing.
I think, honestly, Shagar, it's a small minority of the negative people on Twitter. It's the same people all the time. I think it's a very small percentage. If I look at my text line, I would say it's more people like, hey, I don't mind the Barry deal at all. I haven't received one text of anybody ripping on it. I actually haven't even had many texts of people ripping on the Ethan Bear trade because, you know, I think people take a step back and they're like, hey, you know what? I'm kind of disappointed they traded Ethan Bear, but I like Warren Fogle. right? The salaries are probably going to be the same. Fogle's going to be slightly above, I would think, when it's all said and done in cap hit when he gets his new deal done, right? But then Ethan Bear has a new contract coming next year. I'm guessing Fogle's going to sign at least a two-year deal with Edmonton. So, you know, we'll kind of see where it plays up.
Yeah, for sure. So, and sorry to interrupt you, but, I mean, if you look at the way they've handled this situation with Ethan Bear, or sorry, with Tyson Barrie, they didn't overpay him last year. They knew where his negotiating point was and that he wanted a look-see deal. So they bring him in on a look-see deal. He works fabulously with the power play. And, of course, he's not the perfect player. If he were the perfect player at both ends of the ice, you'd be paying him $9 million for that level of offense in a perfect defensive game. He'd be a $9 million defenseman if he defended better. So they didn't overpay him last year on a look-see deal. He knocked it out of the park. And then they held firm on 3 years when the ask was 4 or 5. And many speculated that that could have been out there for him. So Ken Holland held the line, and they didn't overpay in term. The player wanted to be here. It was a good fit and is happy to be here. Connor McDavid really badly wanted to keep this player. How much do you think that matters, that McDavid really wanted Tyson Barrie to stay and that Ken Holland managed to get that done at the term and dollar? So I don't know. I think... listen, we're not here to butter up every single thing that gets done, and not every move is great. We've been beaten on this Koskinen deal for years and years and years, and other deals as well. But I think when they do good work, it's to be acknowledged. And I think prioritizing Adam Larson, they weren't able to get him. They've had two top four defensemen fall out of just completely off their roster in the last 2 years, and they've been in scramble mode as a result. And I think they've done a pretty good job in that scramble.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Looking at the free agent frenzy today, is there a contract that made you go, oof? And then is there one you're like, wow, I think that's a great deal for a team?
What was Calgary's deal again with Coleman?
Six-year contract.
Six years, 29.4, so almost $5 million there.
Yeah. Almost $5 million.
Yeah, honestly, I've been so focused on grinding on what the Oilers are up to that, I mean, I've been paying some attention, but I haven't been all
over. I have a winner.
Please, and I'll discuss with you as I take a look here as well.
Mikael Granlund getting $5 million for 4 years in Nashville. That one
That seemed excessive.
I thought that was excessive. The Coleman one, I think. Well, Coleman and Hyman I put in the same boat. I think they're both players that for the first few years of their contract are going to be fine. They both have risk on the tail end.
Yeah. Like the Schwartz deal is okay. I mean, he's a good player. You know, he's won a cup and got some experience there. So, I mean, I was okay with that. Even the Grubauer deal. I think I'm just kind of scanning it as we're chatting here too. I thought the Braden Point contract was pretty good too. Pullman 4 years at $10 million. I don't know. A lot of this seems like it's in the ballpark. Did it get completely ridiculous on a bunch of fronts? I don't know. I'm kind of shuffling through it here, and it feels like it wasn't an insane day. We've seen some crazy insane days that are more so than this, I would say. Wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's not that many. Overall, honestly, the other one that's a little bit like Ryan Suter getting 4 years, like that one's, I'm a little surprised by that. Just more so based on what I keep hearing from multiple different people, he's not necessarily the most beloved guy in the room. So when you have the locker room lawyer handle on you, that's probably not a great that's not a great thing for a team. So we'll see how that goes.
How do you think Sheffield do? He's not as good as Adam Larson. It's not the same, but I think he's a facsimile of it. You know, plays somewhat similar, and from all accounts, like played pretty well in his most recent couple of stretches here. And so I don't know. I mean, in terms of trying to bring in, I think I like it better than Hamonic, which would have been an option, just based on recent play. I mean, you compare their recent play, I think CeCe's quite a bit ahead, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and here's this one from Darren Dreger. Linus Allmark to Boston. So we know that Tuukka Rask isn't going to play this year, right? So, but, man, what are the Colorado Avalanche going to do in goal now?
Yeah, well, maybe Arizona's not going to be desperate to help them out. Yeah, losing Grubauer was a pretty big one for them, hey?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm not – Grubauer is one to me. I'm not sure he's got the track record for that long term of a deal. Just me.
Yeah.
That's a risky – I think that's a little bit risky.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's still some stuff out there on the goaltending front, right? And then you got Seattle. They got a bunch of them. I mean, they got at least one guy they're going to have to move, hey?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Who requires
maybe Colorado.
Waivers?
Well, Vanacek, all three. Vanacek requires waivers. Obviously,
right.
So does Dreger. So one of those two is going to get dealt. Joey Decor doesn't require waivers, so I don't see them moving him. But Vanacek, now Dreger just got signed. You know, and he's got the he's got 10 teams that he has a no trade list to. But that means there's 21 teams you could trade him to. So Colorado, would they be on the 10 teams you don't want to go to? Probably not.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, they brought him into town and threw the sweater on him and threw him up in front of everybody. I don't think you do that if you have intentions of moving guys. You know, like when you make them part of your opening press conference and you have them there and you throw them in the sweater and all that. So, I don't know. I would think that, they might lean towards keeping them, but... Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the one area where Oilers fans are kind of like, is in on the goaltending. I think that'll be one where they may just end up kind of having to grin and bear it and wait and see what it's going to look like. I mean, let's be honest. If the Oilers don't screw up or don't have an unfortunate set of circumstances happen on their number three goalie last year, Mikko Koskinen does not have to play nearly as much as he had to play in the early going. Results are different on Koskinen when he doesn't have to play as much. So that's off to a bad start with Smith's injury and them losing their number three and having absolutely no option. I think the Oilers can realistically look at that situation and say, okay, wasn't top of the list on things that need to get fixed. If the upgrade is there, do it. But I don't see them mortgaging a ton of the future to try and get out from underneath one final bad year of Koskinen.
Yeah, no, I think Koskinen... Yeah, early on, obviously, it was not good for him. He can't be the main starter, and that's totally fine. As a backup, if Koskinen had gotten a normal contract, I don't even think it'd really be much of a debate. But it's his contract that you look and say, man, it's kind of a lot of wasted cap space because he really probably should be like a $2 million guy, so it's 2.5 extra that you could spend elsewhere. But I'm not sure how you can trade him and free up that money anyway without giving up a lot more. So you probably just bite the bullet and address it in the offseason when he comes off the books and you get $4.5 million to use wherever else.
Yeah, and I think that's, but maybe as the season goes on, right, if it's a real issue or if Mike Smith's health becomes, like, this is the thing. If Mike Smith's health becomes an issue this year, they're in got-to-make-a-move mode, right? That's one of the risks in bringing Smith back at his age, is if he has a difficult time staying healthy, then the Oilers could have, depending on how their D holds, they could have a pretty good forward group that could really push. And no solution on the back end. So there are two significant risks that Ken Holland is taking heading into this season as of right now. I mean, there's a bunch, but the two main ones as I see it are Duncan Keith and the amount of game he has left it to be in a second pairing, 18 to 20 minutes a night, where he's at with that cap hit. That's a huge one. If that swings the right way for them, huge, huge gamble that will have paid off. And Mike Smith at his age, throwing a lot of eggs in that basket for him to be the main guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you want Mike Smith playing more than 50 games at the most, to be honest. So we'll kind of see where it goes. Shogger, good to catch up with you. Have a good one.
Okay, take it easy, pal.